Welcome to the Flourish Podcast, a community of ministry wives. This is a place for honest, safe conversations with guests from diverse ministry contexts, plus a little laughter along the way. So let's flourish together as leaders, wives, mothers, and missionaries of the gospel.
Welcome to the Flourish Podcast. I'm Kathy Litton, and I lead the National Ministry for Planters and Pastors' Wives for the North American Mission Board. Flourish is a place for resources for ministry wives, and we're excited to have these podcasts, and we cover so many topics of things that we know that go on in your real life. Today, my guest is Susie Hawkins. Hey, Susie.
Hello, Kathy.
Welcome. I'm glad to have you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We are going to talk about raising kids. And so, Susie, you want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit and tell our audience about yourself?
Sure. My name is Susie Hawkins. My husband, O.S., and I live in Dallas. We've been in the ministry our entire married life, which is longer than many of our listeners probably have been alive.
That's okay, Susie. That's okay.
I know. I'm glad about it. I'm thankful for it. And so we have two grown daughters who are married, and we have six grandchildren. So I'm watching that generation, my daughters, raise their kids. And so I'm really interested in this topic of raising children as Christian parents and doing it right, really giving it our all to do it right.
Susie and I just finished recording a podcast on raising pastors' kids. We got a little more focused and talked about raising pastors' kids. If you want to tune into that, you'll learn a little more about Susie's story and some of the cumulative conversation we had about raising pastors' kids, of which we don't claim we did perfectly, but we had a good conversation about that. You know, Susie, one reason I want to talk about this is in our church, we're doing a family series, and I'm, you know, getting up there a little bit, and so is Ed, but I do notice that younger families are interested in hearing from people that have been there, done that, more than I really realized. And I do think that while as you get older, there's this tendency, I think, as a parent, as a mom, to kind of look back and all you can see are the things that you didn't do well. And that's part of aging, is like, oh, I wish I'd done, I should have done, or I didn't do. And you know what, that part of that is just the work of Satan in our life, to be the accuser. But I do think there is a good place in community for older mothers and grandmothers to talk about parenting, not because they're experts, not because they have this list of 20 things that I did so amazing, but just the journey and honesty. And Ed and I, as we've been sharing, we have made it very clear we're not doing this out of a sense of accomplishment or the fact that we feel like we've done it well, but we have experienced it. So that's kind of why I slice this off for a podcast today, for you and I to encourage young women, and that really the Bible has established, starting in the book of Deuteronomy, a multi-generational strategy of passing on a vibrant faith to our children and our grandchildren, and that's in the home. And so what we're doing in our homes are so, so very important. So this is a pretty loose conversation we're going to have today, and I want us to talk about some things that we can look back and say, here's some things we feel like we kind of got right. And then, you know, we're going to talk about things that we'd like a do-over and things that we just, some advice we want to pass on to a young listener here. So let's get off on a good note. And what are some things you look back and you say, I think this happened pretty well in our home? Is there one?
Well, let me say one thing first, that I don't think any mother who is truly honest could ever say that she doesn't look at her baby, her toddler, her child, and think, I don't know what in the world I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'm doing. We have all felt that way. It's one thing to think about motherhood in general. It's something else to look in the eyes of a baby or a child and think, it's frightening the power that you as a mom have over your child, you know, in raising them. So we've all felt that way. And I think anybody who's honest with themselves would agree with that. I think one of the things that we got right, and I have to say that was not because of me, it was because my husband, really took this view is take the long view in parenting. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean, even when they're young, now not when they're 2 and 3, but as they get older, to talk to them, not preach at them, but just talk with them about the importance of their decisions in their life. The importance that my husband was always, even when they were younger children, he would talk to them about who they would marry, mm-hmm. looking for young men who would treat them right, looking for friends who would bring out the best in them, but being taking the long view. Now, I am not that way. I'm not a visionary person. And so I used to get frustrated with him when he would pray about who they're going to marry. And they were in the 6th grade, and my daughter, Wendy, wanted a mullet and hairstyle and lightning bolt earrings. And I was afraid she was going to run off and join a motorcycle gang. I could care less about praying about who she married. But I learned something from that, Kathy, and that was I needed to take that long view and not just pray about it, but talk to them about how important those, he used to say, these are the biggest decisions you'll make in life, who you marry, you know, where you go to school, what you choose for your life vocation, finding God's will for your life, those really broad, big subjects. He was right to emphasize that. Mm-hmm. I was smaller in my thinking, mm-hmm. and that was good for me. And I think that was something that we did that was right, because really he was the one that let it out in it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very good. That's very good. Another kind of long view idea is like that they get jobs someday. I mean, and I don't mean that, but we're needing to raise functioning adults, not just a successful 4th grader, or you know what I mean? That longer view involves family and marriage primarily, but even that they are able to be responsible. And I think we've seen a generation of the helicopter mom issues where that's not taking the long view when we're doing too much for our kids.
I think there are a lot of areas where we need to think that through, and when it comes to responsibility, and especially decisions, mm-hmm. on what they decide, thinking through what they decide and considering their future, even at a young age, mm-hmm. that's a healthy thing to do.
Yeah,
I think.
No, it is. I think one of the areas that we got right, is that our marriage was healthy. It was not perfect, but it's now, my husband did pass away, and so my kids were 17 and 18 and 22 when he died. But when I hear my kids talk about my relationship with Rick and Rick's relationship with me, I really, you know, I didn't learn it till Rick was gone, but I heard Brett tell some people in this, like, you don't even know what's being impressed on your children. But Brett said, yeah. I knew this about my dad when he came home from work, that he was going to throw his keys on the counter and he was going to go hug my mom. And you know what? I thought, oh, my gosh, you know what? I never heard him say that before. I never knew that was his perspective, but it's powerful. It is so powerful. And so
I 1,000% agree with you.
And I don't think we're watching all that stuff. You know what I mean? When it's going on. But no marriage is perfect. We had our struggles like everybody else, but there was a genuine love there that evidently did not escape my son, you know. And
well, I remember years ago when our children were young, hearing somebody, an older woman, talk about that. And she said, you're going to yell at your kids sometime. You're going to get in arguments. You know, you're going to have days when everything's a mess and you're a mess. But in the end, your children's security is often rooted in the love, the unconditional love that you have for one another, mm-hmm. as a couple. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. You're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. We all do. But that gives children a certain security that I think nothing else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the parents to love each other well.
Yeah. Do you have another thing that you kind of look back and say, I think we got this part right?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about the things I got right than the things I got wrong.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking that. Yeah. Well, I think one of the things we got right is something I think you would say about your family is too, as family dinners, mm-hmm. and togetherness, mm-hmm. trips, or just doing things together. We lived in a place, we lived in our kids' growing up years, we were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which I think you and I have talked about some, a lot of similarities in the culture there, mm-hmm. as there was at your church in Denver, in that these are not cities that have a Southern church culture. Mm-hmm. They're very secular. And so, being together and bringing people in the in your family circle seemed to be really a healthy thing for our kids. But I think just being together, mm-hmm. It does create a family bond. You know, we have all these inside jokes. We like to go to musicals. And so we have songs and just inside jokes that we laugh about and the crazy things that happen to you in life. These create an emotional intimacy, but you really have to be together for mm-hmm. that to happen.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if we can emphasize that enough. I think it's even harder today. It was hard in our day, but it's even more difficult now with the busyness of schedules to carve out some time, even if it's going, you know, to breakfast mm-hmm. early one morning before school, taking the kids and just letting them talk. And you don't have to discuss Bible themes, mm-hmm. you know, you just talk about life. But moms, that falls usually under our purview, and that's a challenge. But I encourage you to somehow figure out a way to just have some unstructured family time together.
Yeah. Well, no one ever told me this, and that I understood it younger, was like, you're creating a family culture. And like, you know, our family is very we're wired towards sports, all of us. And so, but what I see now about that sports thing, or the hiking or the water skiing, the things that we like to do, it keeps our family together as adults. My kids live all across the country. Yeah. And so when we gather physically, we go back to those things we did when our family, you know, the water skiing, the hiking, all those kind of things. But even at long distance, the sports and things, they help a family stay together as adults. We all like to cook. And so we're kind of foodies, and there's a lot of recipes and food and things. And so it helps your family stay connected in the years to come too, doesn't it, Susie? It's not just about the memories, but, you know, your grandchildren, I watch your grandchildren, they're going to that college right over there in Fort Worth, you know what I mean? So you're passing on that culture, and it helps families build connectivity for years to come.
It does, and I think you and I, we have this, like just following a sports team, having a team that your whole family is crazy over, and getting together and watching the games and knowing all the inside stuff about it. It's just so fun. And I think it built, and there's a lot of ways you can build those bonds, Kathy, mm-hmm. aren't there? There's a lot of ways you mm-hmm. can do that.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of families, you probably do that without realizing it. So I say to those of you that are listening, good for you. Keep mm-hmm. it up. That's mm-hmm. a healthy thing to do. And it's a long, it's another, you're right. It's a long, taking the long view. It will serve you well throughout the next generation.
Yeah. And again, I don't think you know you're doing it when you're doing it, but
it is
worth it. And the imprint helps you stay connected in the years to come. So I kind of lumped that playing well and family dinners into kind of one thing that you're passing that on. Okay. I'll just go first on like areas I'd like a do-over on is, I had a long list here, Susie, but we're going to make this a really short podcast where I could talk about it. You know what? I didn't create enough structure because I was kind of, Rick was very organized and he loved structure, but unfortunate for him, he married me and I said yes to too many things. And I kept our home off kilter because I was just running around all the time. And I think I needed more order in our house and a little more structure.
Yeah.
I wish I could have done that over.
Yeah. Well, I think, I think one of the areas that I failed in, and I don't feel it as much now, my children are older, so this has kind of resolved itself, but I wish I'd been more intentional in helping them know how to handle money.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good about, I go through phases, you know, where we give them an allowance and budget it and help them figure out what to do with it. But I was totally inconsistent with that. And I have to say, that's not my strong suit either, personally. So I, especially when they were in college and funds were limited, I wish I they had had a little more practical hands-on training with managing money and resources than I gave them. So that is one area. It's not so important now, but I felt it when they were in college, Kathy. I really felt that area that we'd been weak in.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a hard one. And it, you know, the red flags can really start popping up in college, and you know, now we can go online, look at these checking accounts or debit cards, like, oh my gosh, you know, this isn't good. So yeah, I think that's a really good word, and to get parents more involved in that conversation sooner.
Yeah.
I tell you a thing I think that's hard for ministry families in general, and, you know, I do see this as something I've talked about with my adult kids, is how do you create a convictional culture, a culture in your home that holds up high standards but still have a grace-filled atmosphere? And I think that could be hard, and there's some areas of that. I don't think we were entirely terrible in that. Rick did not like legalistic kind of things. It wasn't his heart. But I still think that a preacher's kids, especially, and even serious Christians, we can drive kids, if we don't create a good culture when they fail. So they didn't live up to some convictional belief that even they held. Do they feel safe enough in our home to come forward if they hide stuff and lie? And I mean, that's just the nature of small children to do that to some degree. But how can we have a high convictional home but still have an atmosphere of grace?
And I'm not sure that is such a balance, and we all want it. And I'm not sure you ever get that totally figured out, because your children grow and change so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I would say that was a challenge for us as well. And I tended to, looking back on, I think I was too legalistic about things. Mm-hmm. I think I assumed they were sinning. You know, if they didn't want to be at every event, they were in rebellion against God or something. I wouldn't have put it in those words, but I've just in the same vein as what you're saying, being a little too legalistic about judging their walk with Christ by their church activities. I think as parents, you've just really got to stay vigilant about your own attitudes about that. Mm-hmm. And you're right, balance the conviction with the grace.
Yeah.
And do the best you can. Yeah. You know what? Do you ever get that figured out? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. This side of heaven, if you ever do, you just really have to lean on the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to know how to handle those situations.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, the failing. What happens when your kids fail? How does a family handle that? And, you know, there's lots of bad behaviors at that point, you know, for all of us.
Yeah.
But I think we've got to help, because we know this. We're all going to fail. And we can – failing, I found myself later, failing is not – the problem. What you do when you fail is the problem. You know, and teaching your kids to that, if you have failed at something, if you did cheat on the test and you got caught, how are we going to handle that at home? What's that going to look like? What have you learned through that failure? And I think even that is part of this whole idea, like helping your kids fail well. I know that sounds crazy, but if we're not teaching them to fail well, they're probably going to hide stuff. And we all know that's worse. So I think
I totally agree. And we model that when we fail.
Yeah.
We model that for them.
Yeah. I tell you, another area that was a struggle for me was just impatience. And you know what? I don't think there's probably a mother alive that doesn't have that. I'm not saying that to make it easier on myself, but it's just when you, we're talking to a lot of young moms right now too. I know we are. And you know how hard it is to, you know, if you're handing the kids off to dad the minute he walks in the door and you're running for the car as fast as you can, that's a good sign that you need. You have no patience anymore. You're getting away. But, I mean, that is such a hard thing to keep in a mother's heart, is just not letting all the tension spill out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't, you know, when I think about ways that moms can like refresh her patience bucket, I mean, there's got to be some space in there that mom is able to step away and find what it takes for her to get composure. And you know, that old saying, like, if you're out of control, you don't get to be in control. You know what I mean? You have to, yeah. When we get to that point, it can be a very serious issue, and it can just be a less serious issue, but it's something that I think all moms feel deficient of at some level, is just patience.
I agree. And, you know, you can listen to all the podcasts and read all the articles you want, which may be 1,000% true about how, you know, this is a season of life and God loves you and is just involved in your life when you're wiping runny noses and, you know, little chubby legs are running around your house, little people everywhere, you feel like. You know that, you know God's in it, you know this is a season, but there are plenty of days when it does not feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to give yourself a break here and there, even if it's having a conversation with a friend, you know, kind of venting a little bit with mm-hmm. a friend about how you feel or you're so tired, or taking a walk later after your husband comes home or when there's time to do that. Or just giving trying to look at life with humor, you know, mm-hmm. just trying to find the humor and the joy in it. These are coping ways, because I was the same way. I remember when our children were little, we were in Oklahoma, and our church was having a huge revival. People were really coming to Christ. We were amazed at the moving of the Holy Spirit at this one time. And my husband was just excited every day to go to work, because I promise you, it seemed like to me every day he led someone to Christ. Mm-hmm. And his life just looked so appealing. And I remember standing one day watching him getting married, getting ready, and me thinking, and what am I going to do today? I'm going to wipe noses and, you know,
change diapers,
watch Sesame Street and all that. And feeling a little forlorn and sorry for myself because of that. But so all moms, we all go through that. We all go through that. And cut yourself some slack there. And don't, you're just not going to feel heavenly vibes about that every day during that season.
Well, you need to find a strategy. You need to find a strategy that you know will refresh your soul, because this can be a very serious issue.
Yeah.
We know that to be true. And your husband may look in and try to help you, but I just want to encourage you, own this area of your life, because you know your heart better than your husband when you might be to a breaking point. And so discuss a strategy, things that do that can breathe life into that place in your journey as a mom. So, Susie, you have any other thing that you want to throw out to something from your own journey? Any other last issue you'd like to offer to some of our listeners?
Well, I think I would just end with this, that sometimes our expectations of ourselves as parents, we're really hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't ever discount the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all going to. I hung on to Dr. Dobson in my generation, every word he said. And this generation has people that they listen to and use for guidance and wisdom. And I say, educate yourself as much as you can about parenting and your children and all that. But just remember that God is a merciful and loving God, and he gives us grace as we give grace to our children. And don't be miserable in your parenting. Find ways to enjoy the blessing of
mm-hmm.
children. They are a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there are days it doesn't seem that way,
mm-hmm.
and cut yourself some slack in that. Give yourself some grace
mm-hmm.
when you fail and when you are overwhelmed with it. And just know that God will give you the strength for the next step and the next stage.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a beautiful opportunity. These are sweet days, and I know every experience isn't sweet, but there's a lot of joy in this season. These really are.
Yeah,
this is what old people will tell you all the time. These are great, sweet years, probably the best years of your life. So
it's true.
It's, you're raising little people, and there's a lot of joy to that. So you know what, Susie, I'm just going to pray for them right now. Let's do that. Father, I pray that you minister to the hearts of these women, these moms that are listening, and Father, that you would be the lifter of their head and that you would encourage them in this journey and remind them that you will supply the need. You will be the resource. You will be the source of strength for them to do this task. And Father, I pray that their roots will be going down deep and that the Holy Spirit would provide what they need for this assignment. Lord, we rejoice that you have given us children, and let us steward them well for your glory. And Lord, for really to advance the gospel, that we are handing down a faith to our children and to our children's children, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence in our life. In your name I pray.
Yes.
Amen. Susie, amen, thanks for joining me today, and we'll
enjoyed
do some more
it.
Of this.
Thank you. It was fun. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
The Flourish Podcast is a ministry of the North American Mission Board. For more information about Flourish, visit namb.net/flourish.
Free.